Srila Prabhupada Ki, Shri Bhakti Vaibhava Ki, Karantaraj, Shrina, Bhagavatam Ki, Giriraj, Maharaj Ki, Jadithai Gopremanand Ki. They had a school program in here today, so I had to take him out. And then my day became like too much rushing, and too many things came, so I didn't bring him. He's upstairs in Nashville, Krishna Prabhupada. Like that, so I just too much busy. So I'm sorry. He's here, but he's just. Okay, what did we discuss in our previous classes?
We discussed about Indra's previous activities, how he was, you know, trying to stop the 100 yogis of Prithu Maharaj, and he took the dress of a sannyasi, which is completely irreligious and which led to so many other, false religion.
Good. Any other comments?
Most of our Vasan in Krishna consciousness is not coming from our Vasan, but it's not proper. But it's coming from the blessing of the same person.
Was that last time's class or was that this morning's class?
It's last night's
class. Last night's class. Okay. Any other points?
One thing that I learned from yesterday's class is if you're dealing with a person who is not having values, and it becomes your responsibility to play. Within your own boundaries, keeping the values in place, so that it does not provoke that person to go out of his way and create a block. Because if you see, Indra didn't birth, Prithu Maharaj actually got convinced by Brahmaji's instruction. So I don't know whether this is the right understanding to take from that whole.
It's good. Any other points?
Anything
else?
Even our species are capable to commit inner species deeds, otherwise it would be not them.
Yeah, that's good.
Anything else? It's always good to follow the advice of the, your elders, those who are superior. We follow them, the implicit follow the advice of Lord Rama. We start to sacrifice, and then he will see the Lord himself.
Anything else?
When sense gratification becomes the prime activity, there's a lot of evolutionary activity happening.
Also, another the competition, the American family,
today I was listening to my lecture when I was in Manat, and he was talking about envy. He was saying that only with humility and cooperative spirit we can envy be overcome. He was giving the example of Sukadeva Goswami. He said that even though he was caused by an insignificant Brahmin boy, he was just a child, but he did not become envious that how can I'm such a great king and he's a small boy, how can he serve me? He just humbly took it as the will of the Lord, and that is why he was a rightful candidate to your Sri Mahadeva. There was also the example of Maharaj Rishabdev, that when Maharaj Rishabdev installed Bharat Maharaj on the throne, and he called his other 99 sons and told them that don't become envious of him, you'll all have to cooperate, otherwise the citizens will not get a good king. The citizens will sense that there is unrest among the people. The kingdom will not be in the problem, so you'll all cooperate with the envious.
Anything else?
Reading the daily mail from Shankar Maharaj, he said anger is the result of his work. I thought it would be more of passion, but isn't it? We are not aware of anything that belongs, and our knowledge about the whole thing is limited, and that's ignorance.
Yeah, it doesn't mean necessarily tamagun, it means avidya. Avidya is the general principle that we are all affected by in the material world. It's a little bit different to tamagun, or mode of ignorance. It just means in general avidya.
Can we trace ignorance to any of the modes?
All the modes are ignorance. Yeah, of course. No, not that, not like tamagun. What I'm saying is that avidya is the beginning of the spirit. When the spirit soul comes in the material world, it's covered by avidya, like that. And then the mode of avidya, which means ignorance, is manifest by three types of gunas. All the gunas are ignorance, to some degree.
If anyone is coming in this picture,
So, beginning of chapter 19, we see that Indra, he takes the sacrificial horse from the 100th Yajna of Prithvi Maharaj. So this is based upon
envy.
Envy is the primary mood of those who are in the material world. They're envious of others. Because of envy, then we commit so many different mistakes. So then, Indra, he tries to take the sacrificial horse again and again, and he disguises himself as a unbona fide, unsampradayic sannyasi. And because of this, then so many other personalities take to unbona fide religions in the age of Kali, which have no authenticity. Which are not seen as being authorized by the Vedic literature. Then, Prithvi Maharaj, he wants to chastise Indra, but then Lord Brahma, he intercedes, and he says that please do not chastise him because he is an ignorant person. Now tonight, we will hear the instructions of Lord Vishnu to Prithvi Maharaj. Lord Vishnu himself appears and personally begins to instruct Prithvi Maharaj along the lines of what Lord Brahma has already said. He gives transcendental instructions. So we'll begin tonight, chapter 20, and we will go from verse 1 to verse 10. Any other points?
Okay.
Chapter 20, verse number 1. Did everyone pray for my father last night? Thank you very much. Did you pray for me?
Good.
You did this morning? Okay. If you can, keep praying for me, because I'm feeling my energy is being distracted at the moment. Something is working on me, like that. So I'm feeling not full energy. So please continue to pray. See if you can help me to come back to my normal state of consciousness. Whatever that is, not much more. Try to help me lift up a little bit.
This is the same lecture when you remember the same that when we pray for someone who has passed away, the geographical distances don't matter, even if that person is somewhere in some other planet, we don't know. But when you dedicate your rounds, like when you're chanting or something, and you pray to Krishna, that I'm dedicating your spiritual spirit to that person, and it actually
So if you can just give one mantra to me every day. Just give me one mantra. Just for a little while. I'll let you know when I'm ready.
So actually your father, don't have to worry because he works as a night son.
Yeah, I'm not worried about my father. I'm just saying that if all we pray for him, he will get benefit. I'm not worried about him. I don't have anxiety where he is or what like that. That's not my anxiety. Okay. But if you pray for him, then he will get so much benefit. So that's why I ask all of you, because I consider you to all be pure devotees. And if you pray for him, then Krishna will give him blessings. The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, being very much satisfied by the performance of 99 horse sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu appeared on the scene. Accompanying him was King Indra. Lord Vishnu then began to speak. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, "My dear King Prithu, Indra, the King of Heaven, has disturbed your execution of 100 sacrifices. Now he has come with me to be forgiven by you. Therefore, excuse him." So, Asita Raja Prabhu, can you please
speak? In this verse, the word Atmana is very significant. It is a custom among yogis and jnanis to address one another. Or even an ordinary man, says one himself, or transcendentalist never accepts a living being in the world. Since the individual self is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of God, the self and the super self are quantitatively non-living. As an expert will explain, the body is only a superficial covering, and consequently an advanced transcendentalist will not make a distinction between oneself and another.
So are there any points here?
You see everybody equally?
Why is it that we always see Vishnu Kevara in Indra? Everywhere we see, even if Indra has done something wrong, Lord Krishna or Vishnu always favors him. He always asks that people should excuse him, and even though he has so many things wrong throughout our family. So is this because we don't see much thing in the Bhagavatam about Indra, that he does this devotional thing or that devotional thing? That is not so much mentioned in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah, because he is a very exalted personality. He is the king of the demigods. His position is very exalted and he is a great devotee. It's mentioned in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that he is the third person who is mentioned when Narada is looking for the pure devotee. So his position is exalted. He's not pure devotee, but he is an exalted devotee. And his position is very responsible. The main thing is that when you make a mistake, then you feel repentance. That's what he's doing. He falls at Maharaj Prithu's feet. That's the main thing. So then Lord Vishnu is saying, forgive him. Because he is a good devotee. Just like many devotees, they make mistakes. But if they're sincerely repented that they made that mistake, then we forgive them. Like that. Because he's such an important person in terms of his duties in the universe on behalf of Krishna. It's not an ordinary person who becomes Indra. The position is not easy to attain. So if the person gets to the position of Indra, then we understand he's an exalted personality. So the Lord is saying we need him in the universe. He is repentant, so then please forgive him. For that.
Like a small child who starts crying and doing something to get something, just matter we can all just help.
Sometimes we may have basically the situation whereby we have the difference in the devotee. And if the devotee actually opposes us, you know, from the point of view of the reconciling the difference, we must consider the situation. And we can help. The same thing applies
comes to us, but because we had all the things that the family was here on the wrong side, and he was talking to the director of Sabibu, so we still establish a distance over here, bringing things out on the ground.
Any other points?
How, where do we place the role of Yudhishthira Maharaj vis-a-vis Pitru Maharaj? Because Yudhishthira Maharaj says that even before the other person asks him forgiveness, he forgives him. He doesn't absorb the truth. So here Pitru Maharaj forgives only after he's been asked.
Because he did not, Pritam Maharaj did not do anything wrong. He was angry at Indra for his improper behavior.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yudhishthira Maharaj, somebody offends him or misbehaves him, even before a person asks him forgiveness, he forgives him.
Pritam Maharaj is like that. He's the same as Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira would have done the same thing. He would have chastised Indra also. If he had acted in this way, then he would have also acted the way Pritam Maharaj acted. Pritu Maharaj is acting perfectly, and so would Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Okay,
Generally that's true. Generally that's true. When you're dealing with people like Pritu Maharaj or Yudhishthira Maharaj and they don't have the same feelings that we have. In general that's true. The principle's true. Mataji, you had a point?
Oh, this? Okay, maybe a
Lord
Vishnu. Plays his lila and uses Indra as his puppet. Could it be?
Could be.
Yeah. I mean, lotus is also the reason for when Prithu Maharaj and Indra had a conflict, when Brahma came and he tells Prithu Maharaj instead of telling the Indra. And the way he was writing, it's like because like Prithu Maharaj is more sensible. Whenever there is a fight between two kids, one generally goes to the one who is like more sensible, not to the smaller girl. She goes to the person who is sensible, if I knew better stuff, he's like that only. So it's in the same way like Brahmaji and Lord Vishnu is coming and saying, if I knew better, be he's like that only. So they are just telling the Prithu Maharaj because he's more sensible.
Yes.
So in the hierarchy of demigods, what's Buddha's position? Is he after Brahma or?
Means that above Earth is Swagaloka. Like that. So in Swaga, which is the planet of the devatas, he is the topmost devata. Like that. But then you go above there, there's Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka. Right? And those higher, that's where great rishis live. They are higher than the devatas. And then above that is Satyaloka or Brahmaloka, where Brahma and his associates, they're much more exalted in consciousness than Indra and those below them. But he, out of the devatas, the demigods, then he is the most powerful. So, we see these instructions which are about to be given by Lord Vishnu to Indra, they are spoken on the platform of Gyan. Gyan means transcendental knowledge. Now if you look at Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins with Gyan. Asocha and Vasocha Swam. He says in Bhagavad Gita 2.11, he begins to instruct Arjuna. He immediately goes onto the platform of Gyan or transcendental knowledge. Because we need transcendental knowledge, Sivya Gyan. There's too much distraction. One of the children's making too much noise. We need Divya Gyan or transcendental knowledge in order to make our devotion steady. And Bhagavad Gita is spoken to the buddhi, to the intelligence. Then Krishna explains in the second chapter of the Gita He uses the term Buddhi Yoga many times. I can't remember how many. It might have been 13 times or something. He says Buddhi Yoga, many times, many verses. So, the Buddhi means the intelligence. Krishna says, this is the yoga of intelligence. I'm speaking to your intelligence. This is the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken to our intelligence, to make our intelligence fixed. This is the purpose of Divya Gyan. Divya Gyan means transcendental knowledge. Because our bhakti, we need transcendental knowledge in order to make our bhakti, give our bhakti foundation, or to underpin it, or to make it steady or fixed, like that. So this is why we receive transcendental knowledge. Because the first thing which Krishna teaches Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita is Divya Gyan, the difference between matter and spirit. If you understand the difference between matter and spirit, if you understand you are spirit, and you begin to act on that platform, then your bhakti is much more effective. If you're too much absorbed in matter, if you're too much absorbed in your material body, in your material upadis or designations, then it's much harder to perform bhakti. Because you're identifying with your body, with your anattas, with your material desires, your attachments, it's much harder for you to do your devotional service. Because your attachments are competing with your desire to serve Krishna. So therefore, Krishna first of all says, you are not the body. You are the soul. You are my eternal servant. Now do Buddhi Yoga. Fix your intelligence in this knowledge and serve me. So this is the platform which Lord Vishnu is speaking to Prithu Maharaj in the beginning. He's explaining the difference between matter and spirit. Prabhupada explains in the first purport, he says, Atma, what is it? Atmanam. Atmanam means you are a spiritual personality. So do not act on the material platform. This requires a great deal of realization. That we must come to the platform that we do not begin to react with others just because they are treating us on the material platform. So many people, they interact with us on the material platform. They speak to us in a materialistic way. They deal with us in a materialistic way. But we should not respond like that. We have to learn to act on a transcendental platform, on the spiritual platform. Just like one time Prabhupada was walking in the zoo with his disciples. And one of the disciples was trying to agitate the lion, to make the lion agitated. Prabhupada said, do not agitate him. So this is the nature of the material world, that the conditioned living entities are agitated by their material consciousness. But we should not respond in such a way that we increase their agitation. We have to learn to be transcendental, or to identify on the spiritual platform. Now that is very difficult when you're dealing with materialists all day long. It's easy for me because I just drive down to the farm tomorrow morning and I don't see any materialists. Right? All the materialists that are down at the farm, they don't speak English. Just kangaroos and king parrots and like that. I don't have any problem from those guys. But then if you have to go into a workplace where you're dealing with materialistic people, then continuously you have to deal with their concepts. Their materialistic notions and ideas, and they deal with you in a very different way. But we have to learn not to become, we should not respond to them in the same way. We should remain fixed on the transcendental platform. It's a great challenge actually for devotees to act like that. But that's what Krishna is emphasizing here. That's what Lord Vishnu is emphasizing. Do not become materialistic in your consciousness. Act on the spiritual platform. He's saying to Prithu Maharaj, you are spiritual. Atmanam. You are a spiritual entity. Do not act like Indra. Indra may act in one way, but if you act in the same way, you are the same. Just like Bhaktivedanta Swami, who was a pure devotee of Srila Prabhupada, a pure disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he joined the temple in the early 70s in ISKCON. And he was in a Afro-American body. His body was a African-American, like that. So he came in a black body. And he said to Prabhupada, when Prabhupada came to the temple, he said, Prabhupada, he said, there is racism in your movement. Because most of the devotees were white. And they were treating him according to the bodily concept of life. They were discriminating against him, even in a so-called spiritual society. So he said, Prabhupada said, racism is in your movement. Prabhupada said that if you become affected by it, then you are no better than them. When I heard that, I was amazed. Only Prabhupada could say that. This is how powerful spiritual transcendental consciousness is. That one who is actually transcendental in consciousness, he does not relate to the material body. So he does not become affected by the goings-on in the material world. He remains transcendental, aloof. And this is Krishna's entire message in the Bhagavad Gita. The one must remain aloof from his material conditioning. Do not identify with your material consciousness, with material body, but become transcendental. Become fixed in Buddha Yoga. Like that. So this is what this section will cover with Lord Vishnu speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. It's the same as what Krishna is speaking in Bhagavad Gita. Any points?
So this evening I bought a tram from Bharat Street.
Yeah.
And with me, four youngsters, one of them was again in a black body, and they were creating all sort of nonsense in the tram.
Hmm.
And you can imagine, they are passing comments and everything.
Hmm.
And then they spotted me that I was chanting.
Hmm.
And he said, oh, what are you doing? Then I said, I just took out my visit, that's how it's closed, is it? Are you praying for me as well? I said, yes, I'm praying for you as well. Then he asked, what are you praying? I said, stop saying their whole mantra, I just said Hare Krishna. Then probably that whole food, they started shouting Hare Krishna in the whole train. So, and they've been chanting since I came to St. Kilda.
Harinam Sankirtan Ki. I remember one time I was on book distribution, and I can't remember, it was a long time ago. One man came up to me, I think it was a man. He came up to me, and because I was dressed like in civilian clothes, I think I had a cap on, I don't know what to do, but he came up to me and he said, are you a Hare Krishna? I could see he was very envious, like angry kind of guy. He said, are you a Hare Krishna? I said, what? He said, are you a Hare Krishna? I said, what? And then he said, are you a Hare Krishna? I said, sorry. Okay. I just got him to keep chanting. And then at the end, he goes, are you Hare Krishna? I said, no. Not that. He knew I was, but I was just teasing with him. So, any other points?
So what is the necessity for him to be told about this? Because he would know, being a Satyavishabda.
Yeah, because like Arjuna was instructed by Krishna, but Arjuna, it wasn't actually Arjuna who was being instructed, it was all of us who were being instructed. So the Lord, sometimes he will speak like that. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will say to Ramananda Roy, please instruct me, like that. So it's not always that the people who are in the Bhagavatam or in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not that they do not understand what is going on, but it is for our benefit that is spoken. So, any other points?
The soul of the spirit is not definitely in a different so that the mind seen in the body or the scripture or the conversation.
Is that a question or comment? Or?
The spirit of the soul
yeah.
is not that much powerful to guide the mind to travel in its own way and the transcendent knowledge is fantastic.
When you're leaving the body, then
you leave the body, your mind is dragging, and it is that much powerful. The spirit of the soul to travel in the transcendental manner.
Yeah, the point is that you have to understand you are not the mind.
Yes.
Is what Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita. The Atma or the soul is different from the body, different from the mind, different from the intelligence. If you understand this, if you realize this, then you can go directly to Krishna Loka. Anything else? O king, one who is advanced in intelligence and eager to perform welfare activities for others is considered best amongst human beings. An advanced human being is never malicious to others. Those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is different from the soul.
In daily life, you find that when a madman commits murder, he is excused even by a high court judge. The idea is that a living entity is always pure because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he falls into the clutches of material energy, he becomes a victim of the three modes of material nature. Indeed, whatever he does under the influence of material nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.14, Na Katputram Na Karmani Lokasya Sajati Prabhu Na Karma Palat Amyogam Svabhavastu Pravartati. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is created by the modes of material nature. Actually, the living entity or soul does not do anything. Everything is done under the influence of the modes of material nature. When a man is diseased, the symptoms of the disease become a source of all kinds of pain. Those who are advanced in transcendental consciousness or Krishna consciousness are never envious, neither of the soul nor of the activities of the soul under the influence of material nature. Advanced transcendental are called Sudhiya. Sudhi means intelligence. Sudhi means highly advanced, and Sudhi means devotee. One who is both devoted and highly advanced in intelligence does not take action against the soul or the body. If there is any discrepancy, he forgives. It is said that forgiveness is a quality of those who are advancing in spiritual knowledge.
Okay, any points here?
Forgive others so that you are forgiven.
Anything else?
So as a human, does he forgive his divine?
A conditioned soul is a victim of the three modes.
Yeah. So this is the point that's being made in this verse, that the conditioned souls are simply under the control of the three modes of material nature. This is what Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita. And it's because of the control of the three modes of material nature that everyone acts in this world. Simply, all that we can do is desire. That is the nature of the living entity. When the living entity becomes bound or conditioned, when he is Nichabada, when he is a bound or conditioned living entity, simply we desire. But because we are bound by the material energy, we identify with the false ego, the material body, the false upadis. When we are thinking and when we are identifying with all of this illusion in the material world, then we desire, but our desires become contaminated, and then we simply desire material things. Now, according to the modes of nature that we identify with, then our desires come out differently. Those in the mode of ignorance, they desire in particular ways. Those in the mode of passion, they desire in particular ways. Those in the mode of goodness, they desire in particular ways. So very much we are controlled by the modes of nature in the material world. Just like if people go into a restaurant, or the non-devotees, they enter into a restaurant, then those who are in the mode of ignorance, they'll choose particular types of food. They won't be attracted to other types of food. Right? Those in the mode of passion, they will also want a particular type of food. And they won't be attracted to other things. Those in the mode of goodness, they will only be attracted to other types of food. So we are very much controlled by the modes of material nature. Now, as living entities, as jivas, then we our only control is the desire to express ourselves in a particular way. Because desire is the nature of the soul. Now the soul, he must learn once again to desire spiritual things. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada teaches us that When we come to Krishna consciousness, we have to understand that we are not the body, where we are the soul. And therefore, for a devotee, he only desires to eat Krishna prasadam. We cannot desire to eat anything else as devotees. We are restricted. So a devotee, when he becomes more and more advanced, he has no desire to eat anything but Krishna prasadam. Just like when you go to when you travel out in the material world, and sometimes you go past different shops and different restaurants, and they have different types of food and so forth on sale, but a devotee, he does not feel any attraction to it. He will never take those foods, because he feels that those foods are not offered to Krishna, so he loses the attraction. If they were offered to Krishna, then he becomes very attracted to it. So this is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Mahatmana sumam partha daivin prakriti ashritama. Krishna says that devotees are under the influence of the divine energy, the daivin prakriti, which means that we are attracted to the internal energy. We are attracted to prasadam because prasadam is offered to Krishna. Just like one of the devotees, he said to me today, he said, "I'm cooking the evening meal for the other devotees," like that. And then he said, "You can come and try it later." And I said, "I cannot even think of it yet because it's not offered to Krishna. I can't think in 2 o'clock in the afternoon, oh, this particular devotee or this particular Mataji is cooking. Oh, I can't wait." Right? That is material consciousness. Then you are enjoying before Krishna enjoys. Remember the pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Madhavendra Puri, then he went to Chirachara Gopinath, and he thought to himself that this kheer, or this rubbery or sweet rice, which is being offered to the deity of Gopinath, he thought to himself, just momentarily thought, if I could taste it, then I could also prepare that same kheer, which is very famous, for my Gopal back in Vrindavan. But then he admonished himself, he punished himself, he chastised his mind. How can I even think like that? This has not even been offered to Krishna yet. There was no offence because he was a pure devotee. But Prabhupada explains that for the neophyte devotees, we should not think like that. Even occasionally, you see in Prabhupada Lilamrita, Prabhupada would come into the kitchen. Sometimes the Matajis were cooking for Krishna. Prabhupada would come in and he would see, how is it going? These very early days of this kind. Prabhupada would see, how is it going? And they say, oh, I'm cooking like this. And Prabhupada would look at it. Even a few times, Prabhupada put his finger in and tasted it before it was offered to Krishna. Right? But what was Prabhupada's consciousness? Oh, yes, I think Krishna will like this. Or Krishna will not like it. You need to do more. But we cannot do like that. If you do like that, you watch what happens. You do it. Follow, don't imitate. If you try to do anything like that, you see what happens. And you'll have a very special relationship with Krishna in the very near future. You'll get very special mercy like that. So we do not think like that because we're thinking that it is to be offered to Krishna. You don't think, oh, I cannot wait until the offering comes off. Then I can taste. No, that is not. Until the offering is off, until Krishna's plates are washed, then you can take the prasad, if there's any left. If Krishna leaves any for you. It's up to him if he leaves it. He's just very merciful. He happens to leave it. But if he wants, he can just eat it all and then, like that. So this is transcendental consciousness. Transcendental consciousness means we have to begin to desire on the platform of the soul. The conditioned souls are conducted by the modes of material nature. They have desires and then the modes push them and then they begin to act differently. A devotee, Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, param jishtva nivasite. By the higher taste, then he refrains from lower things. This is how you control yourself. How do you stop yourself from eating bhoga, or food which is not offered to Krishna? Then you must have prasadam, food which is offered to Krishna. Then you can easily control your senses. Otherwise, it's very difficult to control the senses. Like that. I'll just see if there's any more points that I want to make. Now Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, the small paragraph, he says that an intelligent devotee does not react, but he practices forgiveness. This is a very advanced quality, to be forgiving. Generally, in the material world, when someone acts inappropriately towards us, we react immediately. Generally, people react. And you see in the material world, so easy to agitate people in Kali Yuga. So easy. You don't even have to practically do anything. And people become so disturbed. You just look at them slightly the wrong way. You just say something to them slightly the wrong way. You just do something slightly the wrong way. And especially between the husbands and the wives. It doesn't take very much at all to just slightly disturb like that. So this is the nature of the conditioned souls. Very easy to agitate the consciousness like that. But the nature of the very advanced devotees is that they do not become disturbed. The conditioned souls are easily agitated. The one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, he does not become easily agitated. His consciousness is sama. Sama means he is equipoised. A devotee is very equipoised. He does not fluctuate greatly in his moods. The conditioned souls fluctuate in their moods. Very happy, very distressed. They go up and down a lot emotionally. But the devotees do not emotionally go up and down so much. They're more steady in their moods. They don't become overly affected by opportunities for sense gratification. They don't become disturbed so easily or disappointed so much. Devotees are more equipoised. Okay. So, a very advanced devotee, he learns to forgive. Because there are so many insults which the devotees have to suffer. Even amongst our relationships with each other, we go through so much misbehaviour. But Prabhupada says you must learn to tolerate. You must learn to forgive. That is the nature of a great soul. He forgives. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he describes that if you offend a devotee, then you must go and you must beg forgiveness from that devotee. And he describes that the nature of the devotee is that because devotees are compassionate, they will forgive you. The devotees automatically forgive. That is their nature. Except he says that if a devotee is extremely angry because the offense is very great, if the devotee is extremely angry and the devotee does not forgive you, then you must become a menial servant of that devotee and you must take shelter of the holy name. But generally devotees are forgiving. That is the nature. So we need to practice these qualities. Any question or comment?
I was just thinking yesterday how false it is like a sleeping pill. You just take a sleeping pill and the waking person is like a soul. And then you go to sleep, and in the sleep, sometimes you don't sleep, and sometimes you don't dream, and sometimes you dream, and in the dreams you're imagining, I'm having this body and that body, and this body and that body. And you know how they explain there are three states of consciousness. Sleeping, dream, a deep sleep,
described in the second canto of the Bhagavad Gita. Any other points?
So repentance is there other places also. We find that if I remember well, if somebody looks at another man's wife with a different eye, then I think the Vedic injunction says that the person should beg in 7 different houses, declaring in front of each house that I'm begging at your place because I have committed this sin, and should eat only that food. Then only his repentance is washed away, or his sin is washed away. Otherwise, he'll continue with that sin.
If you are not forgiven, then if you become the new servant and take the children of the family. So, if he is not forgiven, how does he become the new servant of that person? Is there any example of that?
No, but it means that maybe he is angry with you, but you try to do some service. But the devotee is angry, but still you come and serve prasad to them, and you try to do something for them.
Won't they become more angry?
They shouldn't, hopefully not. Depends how much the big the offence is. I haven't seen that so much happen, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur just says like that.
Is there any example?
Not that I can think of. But. Any other points?
If somebody accepts the service of the client, it's indication that the ministry is already accepted.
It means their anger is beginning to diminish.
Yeah.
Like that.
So it's indication that they are ready to accept some service from them.
That's good, you know.
I think sometimes Krishna makes arrangements that they have to accept the service. I have seen many circumstances. I don't want to say examples because I am hopeless. But I believe that sometimes you are forced to accept the service, or sometimes they are forced to accept your service. So this in the heart, you know, you will be grateful and you will just forgive them.
Similar to point which what was already said. Okay. You have a point?
With forgiveness in the producing spontaneous of the senior or the advanced devotee, if he wants forgiving for the other man, how can it be advanced spiritually if you go on forgiving? That's the Guru Maharaj, the financing is done with one son.
Yeah, then you have to understand when you should forgive and when you should punish. Doesn't mean you forgive every time, that's not necessarily correct. Okay. You have to understand, with intelligence, you have to understand. Okay. If a personality like you, who are so much advanced because of executing the instructions of the previous acharyas, is carried away by the influence of my material energy, then all your advancement may be considered simply a waste of time.
In this world, Siddha Sevaya is very significant. Siddha means old, Sevaya means by service. Perfect knowledge is acquired from the acharyas or liberated soul. No one can be perfect in knowledge without being trained by the parampara system. Prithu Maharaj was completely trained in that line, therefore he did not deserve to be considered an ordinary man. An ordinary man who has only a conception of bodily existence is always bewildered by the modes of material nature.
Is there any points of interest here?
Then the transformation of the heart takes place. So you see that even when we are already standing in the Hare Krishna Mantra, we receive it from our Guru, then it has more potency because we have received it through the
So Prabhupada is pointing out that when we serve the previous acharyas, then we become blessed by them. This is our system. Srila Prabhupada writes in the songbook of the previous acharyas, he writes that our whole process is based on praying to the previous acharyas for their mercy and associating with pure devotees. That is our whole process of Krishna consciousness. And our advancement in Krishna consciousness is very much dependent upon the blessings we receive from the previous acharyas. All of our previous acharyas. Just like Srila Prabhupada is our param guru, which means our grand father, our grand acharya, our grand spiritual master. So we pray to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said to his disciples that if you pray to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he will be even more kind to you. Because the nature of the grandfather is he is more kind to the children even than the father. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then he is giving even more blessings to Prabhupada's disciples than even Prabhupada may give. Because the father will be more strict than the grandfather. So similarly for us, we can directly pray to Prabhupada through our spiritual master, and we can receive special blessings because we are the grandchildren. So the grandfather has so much affection for the grandchildren. And then we go back into simple succession to all of our great acharyas, Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur, and Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and Baladev Vijayabhushan, and Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and Narottama Prabhu and his associates. And then go back to Mahaprabhu's associates. And all of our advancement is made by the blessings of these acharyas. So this is how we receive transcendental knowledge. The more we connect to our acharyas, the more we pray to them, and we associate with pure devotees, then we will. This is our process of purification. So Lord Vishnu is reminding Prithu Maharaj at this point. You are connected to them, so you must behave properly. This is the point that Krishna also makes to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. You have a great lineage. So because you have a great lineage, you are expected to act appropriately. So we are representing a very great lineage. So we have a great responsibility to act appropriately. We have a great responsibility to take up the family business. What is the family business? Right, it's preaching Krishna consciousness. All the acharyas preach. That is their desire. Prabhupada said to Burujan Prabhu, I have a desire to deliver all the living entities in the universe. Will you please help me? This is Prabhupada's desire. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am a gardener. And I have so many fruits of love of Godhead to distribute. Please help me. So this is the move. Our service is simply to assist the previous acharyas in spreading Krishna consciousness. And by doing that, we receive their blessings. And when we get their blessings, then automatically they bless us with Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge. That's how you become advanced in realization. All of your realizations come from the mercy of the previous acharyas. So if you please them, then they will bless you and then you will get realizations. And then you can represent them and you can also preach on behalf of the disciples of Satsang. Okay. Any points here?
Who was the Guru Maharaja?
Yes. And the Guru Maharaj, it is written who it is in disciples of Satsang. The next prominent acharya after Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was Baladev Vijayabhushan. He was not the guru of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. There was some line there, but the prominent members of the succession are mentioned like that. So. It is mentioned who the guru was. I'm not sure who it was. But. Any other points? Okay. Those who are full in knowledge of the bodily conception of life, who know that this body is composed of nescience, desires and activities resulting from illusion do not become addicted to the body. Jagannath Brahma, can you please read?
No book.
Okay. Chimuni. Okay, you can borrow.
As stated in the previous verse, those with good intellect, Sudhir, do not accept themselves to be a body. Being a creation of nature, the body has two types of activity. In the bodily conception, when we think that sense gratification will help us, we are an illusion. Another kind of illusion is to think that one will become happy by trying to satisfy the desires that arise in the illusory body, or by attaining elevation to the higher planet position, or by performing various types of Vedic rituals. This is an illusion. Similarly, material activities performed for political emancipation and social and humanitarian activities performed with an idea that people of the world will be happy are also illusion, because the principle, basic principle, is the bodily conception, which is illusion. Whatever we desire or perform under the bodily conception is all illusion. In other words, Lord Vishnu informed Kusumaraj that although the sacrificial performances set an example for ordinary people, there was no need for such sacrificial performances as far as his personal self was concerned. As stated, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2.45, Saigunya Vishaya Veda, Nitrai Gunya Bhavajana, Nirdvando Nityas Tattvastho, Niryoga Shema Atavana. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the world. The ritualistic performances recommended in the Vedas mainly depend on the three modes of material nature. Consequently, Arjuna was advised to transcend the Vedic activities. The activities Arjuna was advised to perform were the transcendental activities of devotional service.
So, what are the points? From Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga?
Yeah, or Bhakti, but
dedicated
to Bhakti Yoga by
Jnana Yoga. Yeah, you can say that one. Anything else? So Prabhupada is emphasizing here that all the bodily activities that we perform are illusion. All the bodily activities are illusion. Just like Prabhupada said that we need marriage as much as we need a material body. Do you need a material body? Why have you got a material body? This will be on your exam, so you better work it out. Why do you need a material body? Because you want a material body. Why have you got one? Because you want it. It is a symbol of your desire to be independent of Krishna. You don't want to surrender to Krishna, so therefore he gives you a material body. If you want to surrender to him, he'll give you a spiritual body. It's very simple. You want to be independent, therefore he gives you a material body. So everything connected to the material body is illusion. Prabhupada said we need marriage as much as we need a material body. You don't need a material body. You want a material body. Therefore you think, I am the body, therefore you get married. Huh? You become attracted to man, you become attracted to woman. Right? Maituni Bhava, says in the Bhagavad Gita. This is all illusion. Right? All of this activity in the material world is simply illusion. It is maya. That which is not. Everything in the material world is simply maya. It is false. But you are thinking it is real, therefore you have to accept the material body. But it is simply an illusion. So what Lord Vishnu is speaking here is what Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita. Give up your bodily concept. Transcend your material desires and your material attachments. Bit too much. Unless if you stop, it's okay. But otherwise. But then you must transcend your material desires. Otherwise you will remain bound in this material world again and again and again. So then you have to transform your desires from material desires to spiritual desires. Right? This is Krishna consciousness. Not that. So therefore, it is said here that a devotee, he performs bhakti, not karma. That's why Lord Brahma said to Prithvi Maharaj, don't worry about the 100th yajna. Right? The yajnas are just karma. Right? Why is he doing all the ashwamedha yajnas? He performs the yajna and then the kingdom becomes prosperous. Even one ashwamedha yajna will make the whole kingdom prosperous. Then he does 100 because he makes everything more and more prosperous. It's all material. Now you got to 99. You don't need to perform 100. Right? If someone was a kami, he could not resist performing the 100. Because the karmis, the materialists, are so attached to performing material activities that they will their whole focus goes into becoming materially successful. But for a devotee, we understand, okay, maybe Krishna doesn't want me to do that, so he becomes attached. So that's the nature of devotional service. Devotees are interested in bhakti. This is how we judge all of our activities. Does it give pleasure to Krishna? Is Krishna pleased by this? If Krishna is pleased, yes, perform the activity. If Krishna is not pleased, then detach yourself from that activity. That's how devotees live. The materialist, they perform the activity simply for their own sense gratification. The devotee thinks, does this activity directly give pleasure to Krishna? Is Guru, our Guru and Krishna satisfied by my behavior, by my activities? So this is a difference. So Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma are saying to Prithvi Maharaj, renounce your material activities, your material desires. How many steps did you take?
I don't know.
It says in Navadvipa Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, every time you take one step in Mayapur Dham, then you get the benefit of performing a Rajasuya sacrifice. 1,000 Rajasuya sacrifices. Every time you take one step. That's why you should go to Mayapur or Vrindavan. It says that when you lay down in the holy dham, you get the benefit of offering obeisances. That's how powerful the holy dham is. You're in tamagun, but you're getting the benefit of offering obeisances. That is the benefit of the holy dham. So powerful. Any other points?
Probably. More of a question. We all have to have the jobs for income and things like that. And it says here.
Unless you move to the farm.
Unless you move to the farm. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. But does it matter what kind of. Do the material jobs that you have in affected by the modes of material nature? And in that case, is it better to aspire to do a job that is beneficial to society or something in a mode of goodness than it is to do a...
That's better. You have to be conscientious of not performing sinful activity. Some of the gurus, like Dev Muruswami, he says to some of his disciples, like some of the devotees are working in like coals and so forth, they said you can only work in the fruit section. Fruit and veggie section. And we're only packing fruit and veggies. Because you walk around the rest of the market, right? So many of the items are contaminated by sin. So he said, okay, if you work in coals, but then you can only work in that department. Like that. So these kind of things, you have to be aware of these things. Very hard in Kali Yuga not to get a job that's not contaminated somehow. Just like all the devotees work in IT, like that. But I mean, half the companies they're working for and the software they're setting up for the companies, but the companies are performing sometimes not very pious activities. Like that. So we should steer away as much as we can from the impious activities. Kali Yuga is complicated. But try to be as conscientious as you can. until you can come and live at the farm.
Don't worry for me, you're on the right path.
You got Shekhar's blessings. So.
He's a medical professional, so therefore he's a more good service.
Yeah. That's why I think you said to me you want to go into surgery as opposed to allopathic dispensary.
Well, it just seems to be all the business related to medicine.
That's because it's all the business.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why the doctors have so much money. It's a business. So in the Vedic tradition, the doctor who's practicing Ayurveda, then he lives by donation because he's a Brahmana. This is the Brahminical science. So he lives by donation. And then he gives the service freely. And then whatever he receives, Dakshina then. No problem.
It's unethical to refuse care when he needs healthcare.
No, totally wrong. It's difficult to you can't live by all these ideals in Kali Yuga because everything's so compromised. Okay. But we do need an Ayurvedic doctor at the farm, so.
I'm surprised by that. Sushruta was the famous Ayurvedic doctor dating back to 600 AD or 700. And he was a surgeon actually within Ayurvedic system of medicine. And he used to say that if you read his book, he used to say that take the money when the patient is in distress, because after that he won't give you money. Once he is relieved of his problem, he will never give you money. So he will fetch the money when he is in the distress. That's his statement, but you are saying that Brahmana
is a but even in spiritual world, like Indra is not giving the share of formulas to the doctors.
How many years ago was that?
Oh, that was about 1,300 years ago.
Yeah, so that's not Vedic times. Vedic times means 5,000 years ago and then further back now. That means Kali Yuga had already progressed by that stretch.
In India, still they are following the same doctors. First
came
the
guys, and
then they do the
face. Yeah, America, everyone. It's true. Kali Yuga key? Okay.
So
you said Yajna is
material,
mm-hmm.
But actually the Yajna is sacrifice. The aim is to please Lord. So how can they do anything?
Is this purple? No, but in Bhagavatam
is written there.
Yajna
is to please Lord.
It's in the purport. Prabhupada explains it. If you read the purport, Prabhupada explains this point. The jagya is material. It's under the three modes of material nature. If you read the purport in this section, you'll understand. Okay. Okay. Where are we up to? Six or seven?
Six.
Six. Okay, we have to get to verse 10, so I'll have to do it. I'm sorry if the class is a little disorganized. It's because at this point in my life, I'm a little disorganized. I'm trying very hard, but my brain's not working properly, so. Forgive me if it's not so far. How can a highly learned person who has absolutely no affinity for the bodily conception of life be affected by the bodily conception in regard to house, children, wealth, and similar other bodily productions? So, once again, in the material world, people are interested in accumulating material assets. And they're interested in the performing Vedic rituals in order to get blessings for their material situation. This is why people do the Vedic jagyas, basically. They worship different devatas. If you want particular benediction, you worship particular demigod. But this is not what the devotee is interested in. A devotee renounces karma for bhakti. That is the point, in all of our observances. Just like in the marriage, when the Vaishnava and Vaishnavi, when we get married, then we worship Krishna. And it is Sankirtan, it is chanting the holy name, which purifies the Jagya. Just like you go to the Indian marriages, it goes on and on and on and on and on. They're doing this puja and that puja and this thing and that thing, and no one even knows what they're doing. But they just go on and on and on for days like that. Just like I went to one wedding a few years ago, and it was some congregation member who was connected to the temple. And then they were doing this jagya, and it was going on. They had some priest from one of the other temples, and he was doing some puja and everything. And then, what was that devotee who used to live here? One of the originals? Where's the job to you? Srivastava, he was there, and they were doing all these pujas and jagas, and he was sitting on the side with the mridangas just chanting Hare Krishna for like 2 hours, 3 hours, by himself, just sitting there just chanting, because he understood this is actually what makes it auspicious. And I was very impressed by his bhakti, because he understood actually this is all just mundane. So he stood there on the side, by himself, with the mridanga, 2 hours, 3 hours, just chanting Hare Krishna non-stop. Right? Because he knew this would make everything auspicious. Because the priest was doing so many different things, and the priest probably didn't really even know why he was doing it. I know it's like that, but the priest probably, maybe he does know what he's doing. But what is the point? Is it karma or is it bhakti? And this is the point. So then that has to be the intent of the couple, that has to be the intent of the Purohit or the priest. I also did seven steps.
I'm not saying
don't get married. I'm just saying. Yeah, that's the point. It has to be done for bhakti. Yeah, it has to be done with like what my point is that Sankirtan makes the whole thing auspicious.
These things in the marriage invitations, they actually, I've got one invitation at home, they explain everything on the invitation itself, what each is meant for. So means people had so many discourses, they say, please go to the priest before you get married to understand what you're doing, so that you can do it with the proper understanding rather than just do it as a ritual. They are advising people to do that. And so all the invitations these days are kind of giving step by step what's
about. Yeah, so that's what it should be. But then we have to see, is the priest himself a bhakta or is he a shakta? Does he worship all the devas, all the gods, or does he worship the one supreme lord? So we have to see these things. This is what is important. The individual soul is one, pure, non-material and self-effulgent. He is the reservoir of all good qualities, and he is all-pervading. He is without material covering, and he is the witness of all activities. He is completely distinguished from other living entities, and he is transcendental to all embodied souls. Technically speaking, this verse is speaking about the super soul, Paramatma. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions this, and Prabhupada mentions this in the commentary. Lord Vishnu is saying to Prithu Maharaj, you must understand the difference between the soul and the super soul. And this is the defect of many of the people who come from India, and many of the gurus and the philosophers from India. They don't understand the difference between the soul and the super soul. So these days many people say everything is one. Everything is not one. Right? We are all different. We are not one. We are one in the sense we're qualitatively the same, but we are not one in identity. And similarly, we are not one in identity with the Supreme Soul. Now, this is bogus philosophy. This is false philosophy. And so Prabhupada is emphasizing this here. And Lord Vishnu is actually speaking about himself at this point. Like that. If you read the purport, it's technically like that. Although within the material nature, one who is thus situated in full knowledge of the Paramatma and Atma is never affected by the modes of material nature, for he is always situated in my transcendental, loving service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, continued, my dear King Prithu, when one situated in his occupational duty engages in my loving service, Without motive for material gain, he gradually becomes very satisfied within. This is the point of Varnasrama. Right? He's saying to Prithu Maharaj that if you are a king, you must be doing your activity for my pleasure. This is the entire point of the Varna and the Ashram system. Otherwise, Varnasrama is simply material. Just like we see in the example of Duryodhana. He was ruling the kingdom very nicely. It was very well organized. The citizens were very obedient. But it was Asuric Varnasrama. It was Varnasrama which did not have Vishnu as the final goal. The whole purpose of the Varnasrama system is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Devi Varnasrama. So Srimad Bhagavatam teaches Devi Varnasrama. That Varnasrama must be transcendental. It must be connected to Krishna. If you're doing any Varnasrama duty and you're not connecting it to Krishna, then you're failing in your Varnasrama.
This answer is
Haritoshanam. You must make sure that Lord Hari is satisfied. Okay. And the final verse, when the heart is cleansed of all material contamination, the devotee's mind becomes broader and transparent, and he can see things equally. At that stage of life, there is peace, and one is situated equally with me as such chid ananda vigraha. So the word used in the last line of the Sanskrit is kaivalya. This word is very popular with the impersonalists. They say kaivalya. Kaivalya means oneness. But actually, kaivalya for the Vaishnavas means purity. When something is kevala, kevala bhakti means pure bhakti. So kevala or kaivalya means purity. It is not that everything becomes one, but everything remains different, but it is spiritually pure. God's body is satchit ananda vigraha. It is pure spirit, full of eternality, knowledge and bliss. Okay, so on next week we'll continue with the section. Lord Vishnu will continue to give instructions to Prithu Maharaj. The philosophical section. So some of the purports are quite long. I'll try to do a better job next week. Tonight was a little like that. I wasn't able to enter as deeply as I wanted on this section. Srila Prabhupada ki.